On the cover, a crude wooden staff is thrust into a pile of stony rubble. A torn black jacket hangs from the staff like a flag. Placed gently on the top is a plague doctor mask and antlers. The volume title splashes across the top of the cover. The Death of Puck.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm the Night Owl, and no dark corner is safe.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 27, The Death of Puck. Issue 1, Gone But Not Forgotten.
We start with the sound of the prison alarm going off. The sound of the door being opened inside and moving out to where they have the greeting and phone calls. Now, this is one of those really hardcore, intense prisons that you're definitely not sitting at a table together. There is very thick glass. It is not actually made of glass. We're in Protean City, and they're not messing around.
It's clear aluminum or whatever, from Star Trek.
Yeah. It's not vibranium, yeah. Because you can see through it. Definitely, we've had tons and tons of comics where extremely strong people have tried to break through it and haven't been able to. How's John looking? Is he dressed as John or as Puck?
I think he's dressed as John.
Okay.
I guess it depends. But I think he's dressed as John.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just say, I'm going to walk that all back and say, he's just dressed as John.
Okay.
He's probably in, normally John is in pretty, like, preppy clothes.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of an upper-class preppy kid. I think he's not in this as much. He's in more, he's in beat-up jeans and, like, a Protean City University sweatshirt. It's like, it's not a hoodie. It's just, like, a big green sweatshirt. It's, like, it's ratty. It's something that he found, like, in the lab under the where he's been working with Dr. Amari, just like hanging out in the basement somewhere. There was like an extra old moth-eaten sweatshirt.
Yeah. And we have like the classic orange prison jumpsuits on Carol Hobb, the archivist, as she comes from the back. She's being led by just a single guard, that looks like a kind of standard human guard. And she sits down and picks up the phone and says, I'm sure you have questions, John.
Yeah, a couple.
I would be happy to answer them, but I do want to say I'm sorry. This shouldn't have affected you. If things had gone well, you wouldn't have to be here. And I'm sorry you have to be here.
But if it had all gone well, you wouldn't be here.
And you would have been okay. Trust me when I say that I've done my research and I've prepared for this. I've made sure that you would be well taken care of and have a positive life moving forward. I'm not an idiot, John. I think you know that.
Yeah, you just don't even remember I exist half the time.
She, her hand tightens on the phone and her face just shows like a moment of strain. And this is something you've been seeing with more people in your life lately, that like they're having a hard time remembering that they forget you.
Yeah.
Like if you are not in front of people, mm-hmm. It's really hard for them to remember you now. And it's been hard for your mom for a long time.
Yeah.
And she just strains for a second and says, I know I'm busy with my work, but I could never forget you. What I have here is real with your dad and with you, but I have to go back. I can't live here in these dark ages. I can't be in the squalor with you. You were born here. You can live in this. I can't live in this.
And I think John is going to like push this like metal seat that he's on back. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like leaning and like rocking on the back two legs of the chair. And he's like, I think he's not even like looking at her. He's just like holding the phone. And he's just going to say, but of course you did forget me. You have been gone. I've had to take care of myself. I know that I can take care of myself without you because I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And so fine. Go back. Be a villain. Do evil. And go back to the future.
Do evil. I'm helping your world to become more advanced.
You were going to kill my friend.
I was going to kill your friend.
You were going to kill my friend.
Because
period.
He's not even supposed to be here.
You were going
to
kill my friend.
He's not from this world. He is from a different world. And if he's here, he's destroying your time stream. And when things get bad here because he's here, you're going to remember this. Don't be an idiot, John. Can't you see that there are people that know more and understand more than you, and I'm trying to help you? And she's trying to shift your labels.
Okay.
She's trying to raise your mundane and lower your superior.
I cannot let her do that because my superior is already at -2.
Okay.
So I am going to reject that influence.
Do I have influence over her?
I probably do.
Yes, you do have influence over her.
Okay.
If you did not before, like, she does, like, she has a hard time showing it, you have influence over her.
Okay, so then it just roll +1. That's a 10, that's an 11.
Nice. All right, so you can choose two. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up, one down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
Okay, so I get to choose two. I'm going to shift one label up and one label down.
Okay.
I'm gonna shift my freak down and my danger up.
Okay.
And I have to act to immediately prove them wrong. And she's saying what? I'm just a...
If you want to mark potential or clear a condition.
Yeah, which is the other one I'm gonna do.
Yeah. That you're being naive, you're being an idiot kid. You're not on her level of understanding.
So I'm gonna act to immediately prove her wrong, and I'm gonna clear a condition.
Okay.
I'm gonna clear afraid.
Nice. That'll be good to clear.
And John is just gonna like lean forward, put all four legs of the chair on the ground again, and
there's
just
a
like
clang.
Yeah. And he's gonna just like scoot the chair up as close as he can, and he's gonna get right up into the glass and just say, you don't even know me. You haven't been around. You don't know what I'm going through. It isn't in your history books. History has probably forgotten me too. But I'm not just a kid. I'm not just someone living their life. I'm a hero. And I'm going to make up for all of the hurt that you've done in this world. And he's just going to hang up.
And she just is like, we now get her voice bubbles without any text in them. And she looks taken aback. She looks surprised. And she's like pleading. You can't hear what she's saying, but she's pleading with you.
And John just gets up and walks away.
And there's a panel that shows her looking just defeated. And a guard comes up and goes, Hob, what are you doing out here? She goes, I was supposed to have a call, but I'm not sure. And she stands up and puts down the phone and walks back to her cell. On the next page, we get a scene inside a forest. It's ethereal and beautiful. And everything looks kind of shifted in its color range towards more like blues with like a little bit of purple rather than the greens and the browns. And it is this dense, overrun, just wild space.
Is it foggy?
Oh, yeah, it's totally foggy. It's got this like wonderful fog that like comes up like halfway up the trees. And we get vague figures moving through the woods in ways that make it clear that they're moving like really gracefully, really quickly. They have these like long robes on them, and their feet look like almost like hooves, like non-human feet, right? And they're all wearing, like, we get a couple of just these pale white masks without any features on them. And they're moving around in this forest, and there are all of these little garden ponds, like just like the little ones that you can like reach from side to side of them, that are all surrounded with little stones. And one of the shapes goes and kneels down next to the pond and is just like looking into it. We only see them from the back for now. And another shape comes and sits down next to them and goes, "This is the one, isn't it? This is the one you've been worried about." And the first nods their head and says, "This one and that one and that one, they're all connected. They're all, if this one fades, it's going to take the rest with it." And there's just like a moment of quiet. And the one that kneeled down first says, "I should go." And the second one says, "Yes, of course, I'll guard the pool, make sure that he doesn't find you here." And we now get like a front shot of the first. They have the same white mask, but it has just like a cracked fracture down the side of it. And they reach up and pull off the mask and the little bit of hood connected, and we see Fracture's face. And they just give like the smallest smile and say, "I'm not letting this one go like the rest of them." And then dives into the pool. And now we're in Protean City. We get a couple of panels that just kind of show what the world is like right now. Things have been happening a lot in the sky lately. And when things come from the sky, people panic. We had a falling spaceship that was definitely a space laser. We had an enormous bolt of light that filled the sky for a moment and blasted into a field out of town. And we've had...
And then a couple more going back up.
And then a couple more going back up and down and back and up and all sorts of stuff. So the people that are worried about supers are out in force. There's like, it's not rioting, but there have been protests. There are people with signs. There's a lot more people wearing those "the end is near" signs than there normally are. So we get these shots that just show like a Protean city that's in a little bit of unrest. And then we get a panel that just has like a cross section that you can see people walking around on land. And you see then underneath in the sewers, Frequency and Puck coming off of a ladder into one of these tunnels.
We step off of the ladder and just start walking down this sewer, and John just turns to Ben and is just like, "I can't believe you went to space and you didn't tell me. You didn't bring me. Like, I thought we were friends, man. And you're just gonna do that without me?"
Look, I'm sorry. It just, I told you, we were getting off the bus. Timeline stopped us there because obviously we need to do all the hard work. And it was me and Alina. Like, we didn't have time. You know, I absolutely would have called everyone else.
I know I've been like absent recently, but like, call me. I'll be there.
I know we didn't have time for it, but like, next time.
Okay. But promise me this. The next time, like, we'll all go to space together.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Good.
And we get that, like, interspersed with panels of the two of you traversing the sewers.
Yeah.
I kept on wanting to say prison, and I knew that was wrong. We get that interspersed with you just traversing the sewers, and we come to the little, like, shanty town that that the Miscreants have set up. It's improved, because Hermosa Vida has been working with them, and they've got a little like garden now and some some fresh plants that help to deal with some of the sewer smell, but they're still in just like, they're just in a hovel under the ground mm-hmm. because they keep themselves as far away from society as they can. Just as a reminder for who these folks are, and we've got them out front, their reduced number is the Verminister of Fear, who is a young man who's in like really ratty clothes that look like they used to be good, and he controls all sorts of vermin, especially rats. We have Rockatrice, who's a young trans woman that has had some like mutation that has caused transformation. So she has some like feathers in her hair and some kind of like rocky facial features. And when she touches people, they turn to stone. And geez, who is left? Oh, we have Fuse, who is in like really big covering clothes because their eyes kind of like glow with yellow light and their skin is actual like pitch black. But when their eyes are in like direct line with electronics, everything shorts and explodes. So they can't go out too often. At this point, they also used to have the Burning Man, who was plucked out of history and killed by the Great Old Trickster. And Reggie Mortis, who used to cause horrific ghost imagery to appear with anyone who came near her. And she went and gave her powers to the Appointed, and they haven't heard from her since then. We're not sure where she is. So they're doing their best, the three of them still down there. And I think the first person to see you is Fuse, because like they've got lights down there, and Fuse kind of sticks to the shadows a little bit more, sees a little bit better in low light. So they see you and like raise a hand and go, Frequency! And
John,
everything okay? What are you doing down here?
We're here to see the Verminister.
Okay. And they're looking at you, Frequency, with, like, you can't see much of their face, but just, like, you've interacted with them enough to know that they're hesitant about this. Inviting people in that they don't know as well as they know you is risky.
It's okay, Fuse. He's with me. I brought him here.
Yeah, right. Okay. Just can't be too careful these days. And they kind of like pull back and like just give you a point in the direction. And the Verminister is like sitting on a crate, and he's across from Rockatrice, and the two of them are like playing some chess. But a lot of, like, on the Verminister's side, all of the pieces are just, like, little beetles and stuff like that. And he's just kind of, like, using his control of them to move them around the board. He looks up and gets just, like, a huge grin on his face. He's got, like, one of those smiles that, like, shows, like, way too many teeth and is, like, way too big of a mouth. And he just, like, comes up and, like, goes, Frequency! And goes and, like, gives you like a big bro hug.
He
smells so bad.
He smells
like rats.
I am not prepared for it.
Yeah.
So it's not a reciprocated hug, but not like I'm choosing not to. It's just I'm caught with my arms at my sides, just being squeezed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he turns to John and goes, tip of my tongue.
John.
I knew it. John. How can I help you two?
We talked on the phone once. About an idea I have about being a hero.
Yeah. And like there's a pause for a minute and he looks down and just kind of like reaches up and like runs a hand through his hair. It's like all shaggy and all over the place. And he just goes, I don't know, man. We've kind of tried to be heroes, and it doesn't seem like it works out for us. And like I got to look out for us, and you've seen how it is. I don't know.
Yeah, but times they're changing up there. This city is growing. People people can change.
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
Oh, I can do that. That's good.
And you've got a plus one on him. You've got influence.
So that is a superior. Oh, plus three. I rolled a six, but I get a plus three and plus one, which brings me to a 10.
Nice.
Very nice. I don't think I even get an option then. I think I just go.
Yeah, yep. You rise to the bait and do what you want.
There's a second that he's just looking hesitant, and he like looks back at his crew and then nods and says, "Yeah, things aren't going to change the right way unless we change them that way, right?"
Exactly. It's not what you've done that defines you. It's what you will do.
And I have a task that's uniquely suited to your type of heroism.
You know, that makes me real worried.
And John is going to, he has like a backpack and he reaches to the back and pulls out a couple of books. And they're like these big old, like ancient books. Cause he collects like ancient tomes about mystical things, like in his, through his research about the trickster. And he just kind of like scooches some pieces around on this chessboard, trying not to like knock the game too much. And he puts these books down and they're,
his pieces have scattered.
And the one book is like this big old, like nice leather bound book. And it doesn't have a title. It just has like the outline of this big, like rat face in like, with like star spursed eyes.
And we're going to move to the next, next scene. So I imagine we're trying to get the whole team together.
Yes.
What does that look like? Who are we? So we've recruited Frequency already.
Yeah.
We've recruited Verminister. Are the other miscreants going with you?
I don't think that John would have particularly asked them, but if they are like, if they want to do this as a team, he's not going to say no to them.
Okay.
And like, he might even encourage them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to ask. That's,
it wouldn't take much encouragement. Where the Verminister goes,
they all go.
Yeah. Like they want to help out.
Okay.
And like, Rockatrice has a whole lot of feelings about Reggie and everything like that.
Okay, so I think that John would go to find Sokotoa next. Where would I find you?
Probably at his house.
At your house?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we get a scene of John back, like still in like the weird, like tattered Peridian City University sweatshirt. And he knocks on the front door of the Kahananui family house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like waiting to see who answers.
Yeah, so Kalino opens the door. I imagine he opens the door and you just see them talking, and in the background in the bay you can see the remnants of the spaceship that's there, and like there's construction people working on it. This was really close by.
Yeah.
So because Kalino lives in that Brightside Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we get like the panel that shows, like we get the panel of the two of you talking and Frequency nearby and the two miscreants like standing awkwardly out on the street.
Like Kalino probably has not seen you in a long time. So like he can open the door and you can talk to him and he'll just like mid-sentence just like hug you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we do hug. And then we like keep having a conversation a little bit through that. And then I would probably like step back and brush myself off. Like we've had like this whole conversation now, and he just like reaches out a hand to like offer you a hand to invite you to come with him.
Yeah, and you just see Kalino reach back and grab his backpack and head out.
Awesome. Who's next?
I think it should be Sage. We get a panel of the outside of Peacoy. We see Frequency and Sokotoa, and the miscreants are like kind of in, like they're standing awkwardly, and then they're like playing a pickup game of basketball with like some of the other mutants. And I think maybe like who would use their powers and get yelled at?
One of the miscreants.
One of the miscreants. Well, one of the miscreants.
Kalino's real good at basketball.
One of the miscreants uses their powers and one of the kids is like, "Hey, no powers.
Yeah, like a bird's like a pigeon like swoops down and like smacks the ball in.
And John runs in quickly because he's still been, I think he's been living at Peacoy
mm-hmm.
through a lot of this time. And so he's ruffling through like, his room, like trying to find something that he left here. He's like trying to gather all of his materials and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, maybe Sage like hears that and comes by the door, because he probably hasn't been around too much, but he's been...
Yeah, I think the panel is, like, we see the back of John's head, like, digging through something under a bed or whatever, yeah. And then you just see the outline of somebody quietly in the doorway watching, and it's Sage. She just heard you come in and is curious, but is not going to ask you until you turn around and see her.
Yeah. And he turns around and just gets, like, very excited, and he's like, Sage, I'm so glad that I ran into you. I have a really, really big ask, but I think that I hope that you'll come with us.
You're in a really good mood.
And I think if we just want to, like, kind of move past that, then we'll be getting another shot of the outside, and then maybe the two of them coming with.
And from the outside shot, we can see Lunar Lens, like, standing in one of the windows, looking out with a very concerned look on her face. You have caught some adult notice.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But I walk out in my Night Owl uniform.
Ooh, nice. Oh, awesome.
And I call my bike.
Yeah.
Click, click.
Boop, boop. And so then I have to go find Alina. Mm-hmm. Where would we go? Where would I find you?
I honestly, I feel like you would show up with the whole team.
Yeah.
Up to the secret base. I would come to the door and say, hey. Nope. I would come to the door and just take a look at everybody who's around and look at Puck, look at John. And say, what took you so long?
Nice.
And then usher everyone in.
Alina,
mm-hmm.
This is your base.
Yes.
What would be a good place for people to sit around and have a conversation about how to stop someone from dying?
I mean, there have been hangouts in the past, and there's just been sort of like a almost like a common room
mm-hmm.
with a big screen on one end and like three futons on the other and sports drinks underneath the futons, I think so. So yeah, I think that's where everybody's, you know, we've got milk crates for the surplus people just all sitting around.
There's a conspicuously empty chair.
Yeah, all of the robots are like just searching.
Hanging out by this empty chair.
Yeah. They're searching through the guests, and when they don't find who they're looking for, they just sort of dejectedly sit by the chair that is empty.
That's when chair's other power.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a robot dog love.
There's a bunch of frog-aid under the futons.
Yeah, bullfrog-aid. So we just get like this panel that just shows everybody sitting and hanging out. It's definitely tense, and there is some obvious weirdness of like the miscreants not being part of your crew.
Yeah,
and they're like hanging out real close to each other and like just kind of like almost like huddled up like birds when it's cold, because this show is only about birds. But like the three of them are kind of like huddled up together, just watching with very suspicious looks on their faces. Because some of you kicked their asses.
That's true.
Not that long ago, sequentially. Like a year ago, something like that.
That should make them feel safe, because if we kicked their asses,
yeah.
We're going to be able to handle ourselves.
That's true. So,
time to pitch my plan.
I motion to a sort of station that's next to our big screen where John can, you know, plug in his flash key for the PowerPoint, and then I hand him the laser pointer that we use for our planning missions and debriefs.
Okay. John is going to take the laser pointer and just kind of look at it and look at the computer. And he's going to turn back to the group and be like, all right, so this is going to be just weird, and I'm just going to get into it. I don't really know how this is awkward, so it's just... we have all been through a lot together. We've been a team-ish now for 2 years, and like we've done some crazy heroic stuff. We defeated Falcon. We did some of us went to space without the
some
rep.
Of us weren't invited.
Some of us weren't invited.
Some of us didn't get their permission slips signed in time.
Rocketrice goes, "You went to space?"
And And so John will continue probably putting the laser pointer down.
So disappointed in you.
And through all that, I mean, let's just to be really blunt about it. I thought I was going to die. I thought I wasn't going to make it through this. I think most of you know about my powers and the source of those powers. And some of you have met Jack Chance and the other, and the powers involved in that. And I've really gotten to a point where my bill was coming due. The trickster has been looking for me, and he's been getting, and it's been getting closer and closer and closer. And we don't have any time anymore. I've got to make a stand. And I think that now is the time to do that. Like, Falcon is gone. Sage, you've gotten your powers back. Sokotoa, you're like a big hero. You're all over the news. Alina, you're still killing it, as always. And Ben, you've been to space now. If we were going to make a stand, I would choose now. But also, I don't think I have another choice. So I have a plan, and I'm hoping that you'll all come with me on that plan. And hopefully I won't die.
Well, this seems really optimistic so far.
I mean, I'll be up front. It's a long shot. This is a crazy idea, but I think that with your help, I think that with the Verminister's help, I think we can pull this off.
So what's the plan?
The trickster has been trying to find me. The trickster has been like every time I use my powers, the trickster is able to see those powers and feel them, and they've been hunting me. That's why I have to hold back so much. Why I can't always be there. Why I have to hide who I am, and why Jack Chance is here trying to find me. And I've been working with Dr. Amari, or I had been working with Dr. Amari to build some kind of a machine to help dampen those powers. But we've also been making a machine. So, but as when I came through with this plan, when I came with the idea for the plan, the idea was to hide my powers. But now I think that I want to do the other, to do it the other way, to make my powers stand out even more, to call the trickster here now, to use the fact that this is the right time to face the trickster once and for all on our terms, on my terms. And I've talked to the Verminister a little bit about this. And what I would like to do is go to where Dr. Sublime is encased in a crystal with the Void Rat.
And there's editor's note. Dr. Sublime is a huge hero from a previous era, from the Bronze Age. He has the power to sublimate energy into a physical object, specifically into crystals. And he once essentially caught an enormous cosmic blast from the Void Rat that was going to destroy everything. Well, at least destroy Earth. And used it to encase himself and the Void Rat in this giant crystal. It was floating above the proceedings in the Science Fair episode.
And so I think that the way this can work is we'll break the crystal, channel the energy into the machine, and enhance the powers. Basically, like, light a beacon, call the trickster here, and then hopefully the Verminister can control the Void Rat, and we can make the two gods fight each other.
The miscreants are all holding hands in this panel. Cassie has on gloves that make that a little easier. And the Verminister just goes, wait, that's not... if I... Point of order. It's called the Void Rat. I hope you have a second plan. Because if that Void Rat isn't actually a rat, I'm not going to have a great time.
I also have concerns about your fate resting in the hands of two monsters brawling it out in space.
It sounds like they're going to be in the convention center, actually.
more concerned now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So your thing is vermin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vermin, rats, bugs, some birds, pigeons.
Have you been able to control anything with any kind of sentience?
Controlled a capybara once. Hey, those things are big.
But not really with a whole lot of free will.
There was this beetle guy I went to middle school with.
Okay, I don't need to.
No, just, he did my homework for his master.
Okay.
Look, I've been doing a lot of research. I've been doing reading on the Void Rat, and I think it will work. I think he's a rat.
So your whole plan for your survival and therefore not erasure from, you know, existence as we know it, is that, gee, I hope this guy is a rat.
Well, he's clear, like, you weren't
space rat.
He's a space rat. That's, you know, it's not totally out of.
Does he look like a rat?
He totally looks like a rat.
He does look like a rat.
I mean, if it looks like a rat and it smells like a rat,
so
it could be a rat.
So is the plan that you take the crystals, you funnel that energy, and you zap Verminister with it, so he's powerful enough to control the Void Rat.
The crystal. So I need to use the machine that Dr. Amari and I have been building to supercharge my powers. To call the trickster here.
And to bust open the crystal.
But at that point, won't you be like very energy drained? And you haven't looked well after using your powers in the recent past. I'm worried that's going to put you at a severe disadvantage should something go wrong with the space rat.
Well, that's why you guys are going to be there to help. I mean, hopefully.
Rocketrice goes, oh, how about that guy that caught a spaceship? He's like one of your friends, right?
He's having a timeout.
He's very hurt.
From catching a spaceship.
A spaceship.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a better plan, I don't know how else to kill a god. This is like, I've been doing research for probably 3 or 4 years now, and this is the best thing I've come up with.
Yeah, I mean, think of like Godzilla.
Oh, I am.
Constantly.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
The only thing that got rid of Godzilla was Mothra.
She's right.
Which
Mothra
is also-
did get rid of Godzilla, says Fuse, the first time they've said anything since arriving.
So if we have Mothra on our team,
yeah,
we can make sure. I'm really trying to stand for your plan right now, John. And this
she a good
is,
girlfriend.
I need a PowerPoint. Okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Kalina whispers.
This would have gone so much easier if you had just listened to me.
Visual aids.
Next time that I have to fight a god, I guess I'll do a PowerPoint
well,
first.
Well, I
sorry.
Would certainly hope so.
That's actually never gone down. Comes a voice suddenly from behind the couch, and it's Fracture. They're standing there with kind of like an awkward look on their face. They're in their...
No more awkward than Alina.
They're in their standard like superhero costume with the jacket on top. And they kind of look around at everybody and go, as far as I can tell, across... Every world I've glanced into, John hasn't made a PowerPoint. He made a poster in one.
Kalino looks right at him and goes, who the hell are you? Like, that just appeared in this room.
I'm Fracture. I arrive when worlds haven't... when worlds are about to end. I've met all of you a lot of times, and we're a team together, and we're going to stop this one. It's going to work. I'm really confident in that, because we have an advantage that some of us have worked together at this point.
Sage is going to lean over to Kalino and like whisper and be like, they and Alina have a thing. This just got real weird.
That's the weird part.
Part of the weird part.
But this isn't a terrible plan. The Void Rat is mostly a rat. It's a lot of other things too, but it is partially a rat. And this is what John has come to in every reality. It all goes down tomorrow. Whether Wait. John exists at all.
So you're saying this could be the end?
This won't end everything, probably. But every world is going to be dealing with a Void Rat. And all of the worlds are going to be dealing with the Trickster. The Trickster spreads over all of them. The Void Rat is different in every world. But I'm here because this one's kind of a key. If you beat the Trickster here, then the Trickster is beaten. If you don't, that ripples outward. It's all going to run downstream.
Alina, who has not moved an inch during this whole dialogue, just goes, so you're saying, so if we lose, we don't just doom our universe, we doom every universe that ever was.
No. If you lose, Puck loses in every universe and will be taken from every universe. But every world's on its own for dealing with the Void Rat. So if we lose here, there will be other worlds. But we probably won't have this one anymore. And I'm fond of this one.
But you said if we win here, we take the Void Rat out of other universes?
Trickster.
The Trickster out of other universes. The Trickster, one Trickster, many universes.
Mm-hmm.
Many universes, many Void Rats. It's complicated.
So what you're saying is we have an infestation.
The Verminister of Fear just like gives like a big snorting laugh at that one. He likes rat jokes.
I'm going to try to high five him and see how it goes.
Oh, he hella high fives that.
Sweet.
So does the Verminister exist in these other worlds you've been to? Like, have we tried this plan already?
No, you're going to try them all at once. That's what's kind of exciting about this. There's a lot of other Verministers. There's a lot of other ways to wrangle giant space rats. There's better plans than this one. There's worse plans than this one.
Hey.
But we don't know which ones are going to work out. I'm here to help this one.
I mean, and I think John's look very flustered. He doesn't really know. Like, he's only run into Fracture once.
Yeah.
And he kind of like, I don't know.
They didn't have Hulk. The best.
They didn't really have the best
relationship.
Does John know about their history?
Not really, I think.
Yeah, I'm real Fracture honest and open definitely, about that.
I think Fracture did flirt with Alina in front of John.
But it was during a time period.
It was during
where,
a time that.
It was during a time where John was pretending like he didn't have a thing for Alina.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty sure he was going to die.
Yeah.
I think John is just going to be like, look, we could try to fight the Trickster. Like, there are other ways that I can try to get the Trickster here, and we can try to fight the Trickster without the Void Rat. But, like, I don't know how we. Like, I probably can't punch a god. I mean, maybe Sage could, but having the Void Rat and trying to get the Void Rat on our side with the Verminister is like a big asset.
Fracture steps forward and puts their hand in and says, I don't think you're going to get anything put together in the next 24 hours that's going to beat what Puck's been working on for months.
But wait, one question though. Didn't you say that you come to universes that are dying?
Yes.
So doesn't that mean my plan doesn't work?
Maybe. I come to universes that are dying or that are having confluences with other universes. This all started here, and ended up in every other world. You took the power here first. So that's where it's going to end. And that's where it's going to come from. But, like, to give you some ease of mind, every other John also took the power.
So in every universe, you're an idiot. I mean,
no, exactly what she said. That's true. Yeah.
No, no, so it's not like your fault that the entire multiverse is doing this. It's
yeah.
It's just
you're just responsible for this.
Just
mess.
Responsible for this one.
And you're going to clean it up.
Yeah.
We're a
yeah.
team.
Hey, I mean, on the upside, maybe the trickster just kills me and then goes away. And then the Void Rat just kind of does whatever. And Guardian City is safe.
And that's the next. And then we go to the next panel where we're all at the Guardian City University science lab. So the next page shows our super team gathered. We have the crew minus Windshear. And I assume at this point everybody is costumed up. Because
mm-hmm.
it's about to be some super heroics. There's a big machine that Dr. Amari has been working on that is meant to focus powers. There's 8 pillars that are on like just rolling things that have to be attached to each other. And she's getting those things all set up. But the idea is you stand in the middle of it and it uses her time shrinking setup to make all of your power, like let you use your power mm-hmm. and then get better. And use your power and get better, and essentially rev up your power more.
And it was also like based off of her original like time like bubble technology, yeah. which like slowed energy, and it's sort of like doing the opposite of like.
Yeah, it's basically like speeding up the energy, getting you closer and more powerful to light speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it now instead of just being a phone app that projects outward, it's like a setup machine, so it can be more focused. So this is all set up. Is there anyone else who you would have called in for this? Any of you, for that matter, because all of you have contacts.
I left a note for the asset.
Okay.
I left it for him where he could clearly see at under my bed in a lockbox.
Yeah, he'll find within the next like 45 minutes or so. No, he'll find that if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I did not tell Lunar Lens where we're going.
Okay.
Because since her accident, I kind of don't trust her in combat or in difficult situations.
Okay.
Right now. And I'd rather she stays where she is.
Okay.
Did you tell her?
No. No. I've got a computer in the lab set up and still hooked up. So Lambda.
Okay.
The big supercomputer I have.
Yeah.
So you got a supercomputer to help out.
Cool.
I'm sure you have many other supercomputers, but like plus one supercomputers helps.
I think this is the one supercomputer that he has.
Oh.
Yeah. She has a time device.
Yeah.
That is it.
And there's a panel where Isaac is on the floor listening to all this, and you just see him kind of like furrow his brow and like look determined. Like he's on board.
Okay, it's good. Now I feel better.
In that panel that we see Isaac, mm-hmm. The Verminister's going like, and so like pretty much any kind of bug and like squirrels and chipmunks, yes. That thing, no. Armadillos, yes. And then we get a panel that shows the huge structure above where we have what looks like exploding nebulas and stars that tied together and kind of looked at from the right angle look like an enormous rat with its mouth wide open, just like spewing cosmic force onto what looks like a very tiny man because he's just with this enormous thing, holding its jaws open and just like screaming in rage and fury as he sublimated all of that energy into this crystal that has lasted over 10 years mm-hmm. and no one's been able to break yet.
There's a small panel of Sage standing directly under said crystal situation and being like, oh yeah, it's a rat. I mean, it looks like a rat.
Rocket rises with you and going like, I mean, if you look at it from the right angle.
Squint a little.
It's got all the rat parts. It's got like eyes and a little nose.
But it's like spacey. It's a space rat.
I think so.
Yeah.
A void rat.
Debatable.
More like a space rat.
It's a space. Yeah, it's a space rat. I'm still in. I'm just like, I'm trying to like, you know.
Oh, Dr. Amari is a little ticked.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is her boyfriend.
She's like, she looks just really intense right now as she's setting things up. She's not talking to anybody. She's not having a conversation with anybody. She is just doing her work because, as you know, that is her, I think, fiance.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
I think she's got a engagement ring.
Mm-hmm. Is there a rat in that too?
No, but that was sublimated energy that was created from the candles on the table at their first date.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cute.
And Fracture's there, kind of hanging out at the side, watching everything, and just kind of looking awkward. Like, you can tell they're not super comfortable with... They've clearly figured out that there's something going on with Alina and John, and it's like, what am I supposed to do at this point?
So I think that John would go find Alina wherever we're setting things up.
Okay.
And she'd be like, so, what's up with you and them? I mean, if it's none of my business, it's none of my business. But.
It's fine. I mean, remember when the Halloween party kind of went sideways and we went to a different world? Mm-hmm. And
which time?
No, the Halloween time.
Okay.
Time on Halloween when the world
right,
went sideways.
Right, which one?
We went to the one where it was like a smoke monster kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was just me and Sage, and it didn't go great, but the reason why it didn't go worse is they were there.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, they're like, I don't know. They seem to know what they're doing. So I think we should trust them.
Okay.
Can there be a small, like, side panel of, like, a doorway open, and you see three heads there, and it's Sage and Kalino and Ben, because she grabbed both of them, was like, come watch this. And we just piled in the doorway to watch this emotion go on.
Yes.
Okay, great.
I didn't think I would ever see them again. I kind of hoped I wouldn't see them again, because usually when you see them, that means you don't have much time left.
Yeah, well.
And then with us, I don't think we can be refusing any help right now. The most important thing to me right now is to get you through this.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're here. And I think we can do this. I think we can do this. I'm not going to die today.
That's the attitude.
Are you comforting or supporting her?
I think I might be.
All right. So go ahead and roll plus mundane.
6, 7, 8.
So on a 7 to 9, that'll be a hit. They hear you. They mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. I feel like you were already kind of opening up to each other. I don't think you need to do anything more for that.
Yeah.
So you can choose one of those.
I'm going to shift my mundane up. I don't know. Ooh, and my freak down.
Okay, cool.
And so John is just going to I think give her a quick hug.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I got to go make a phone call real quick. I'll be right back. And he's going to go open the door that I think that the three of them are probably standing behind.
We got up real quick.
And he maybe sees them down the hallway and gives them a weird look. And then, like, he's going to go find a place outside that he can stand.
Okay.
And he's going to make a phone call to the radio station and try to call Jack Chance.
WPRT?
Yeah. Can I talk to Jack Chance?
Let me see. He's not in... Today. Oh,
yeah.
He's in his office. Okay. Let me just. And there's like. And like, there's the first tone of some hold music. And then immediately, Jack Chance, how you doing?
I'm great, Jack. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. I just woke up this morning feeling like I was going to hear your beautiful voice.
I bet you did, Jack.
I've been looking forward to it. I've been missing you, Puck.
So here's the deal. I thought you might be interested in a thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to unmask myself today in public, and then I'm going to kill your boss.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Night Owl is played by me, Elspeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at TheCatOnTheWall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.